welcome to the X-Cast, X-Files Podwatch, episode 31. My name is Clara Cook, and I'm here with Andrew Blaker. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Clara. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Today, we will be discussing Season 3, Episode 11, Revelations, and Season 3, Episode 12, War of the Copperhages. Copperhages, always the one that no X-File fan can say properly. So, first of all, we're going to talk about Revelations. So this is Season 3, Episode 11. It was first aired on the 15th of December, 1995. It's directed by David Nutter and written by Kim Newton. The basic outline of the episode is that Scully and Mulder investigate the murder of an evangelical preacher and discover a boy in a local school who is showing signs of the stigmata and is being pursued by the suspected killer. So this episode is kind of the first one, really, where Scully's Catholic faith becomes a sort of part of the central storyline. What did you think about this episode, Andrew?
I like this. I have mixed feelings on this episode. I think it works best as a Scully vehicle. Like you said, it is one of those, you know, religious quests like episodes for Scully that they do here and there throughout the series. I liked it overall. I thought it started out very well. I got a little confused by the time we were to the end about, you know, certain characters and motives and everything. But overall, I like it. Overall, I felt like it had a really good atmosphere to it. And I thought the writing was pretty well as well.
So I had quite a different reaction. I actually really didn't like it. There were certain things about it that I did like. So I like the fact that the switch in the episode between Mulder being the believer and Scully being the skeptic, it completely switched around this time. So Mulder's the skeptic and Scully's the believer. Although I think Mulder is a bit overly dismissive and maybe slightly too kind of sarcastic about Scully's religious Catholic beliefs, or about the Catholic sort of religious theme in it. It's not really Catholic, is it? Because she's Catholic, but it's an evangelical preacher. So and it's just Christian, I suppose. I agree with you. I wasn't sure what the motivation was to this boy. So is it the boy being pursued who's showing signs of the stigmata, which is when you bleed from your hands, your palms of your hands and, you know, and your feet in the same way that Jesus bled while he was crucified. A character called Kevin Kider. I'm not quite sure why he was chosen by God or why he was showing the stigmata, if he was chosen by God, and why this assassin, sort of evil assassin, was pursuing him. And they don't really ever explain that at the end of the episode.
No, they didn't. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. They throw a lot at you and they leave a lot of things hanging. You know, we first meet Kevin's father, who's been committed to a psychiatric facility of some sort. And he believed that, you know, his son was in danger from evil forces. But after that, you know, it's just very vague on certain of those themes. So I definitely agree with you on that. It's hard to follow at times.
Yeah, and I think that the whole story basically centers around Kevin running away from the assassin and the assassin pursuing him. And there's sort of lots of scenes where Kevin flees this scene and flees that scene and flees this situation, that situation. And ultimately, at the end of it, it's supposed to be Scully who's supposed to rescue him because she's a believer. She's got this sort of, I guess, this destiny in terms of her faith or whatever. I think the finale, a sort of action that takes place, the last scene that takes place in a recycling plant. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but I don't really find recycling plants like all that frightening. I mean, I guess it's any big dark space, I suppose. But I'm not even sure where the guy took him to a recycling plant. I mean, maybe that was hinted at somewhere in the episode. But by that point, I think I probably had stopped paying too much attention.
Yeah, I think the guy, Simon Gates is the main guy that we're talking about. He owned that. He owned the recycling plant. It was in Jerusalem, Ohio. laying it on kind of thick there. But yeah, that I think that's the only reason he took him there. It was just because he owned it.
There is an actor in this who, Michael Berryman, who plays Owen Lee Jarvis, and he's famous for being in lots of films. He has quite a striking face, and I think he often plays villains. And he's actually playing a sort of a good character in this episode, and that is something that I thought was good. sort of this idea that he's taken Kevin, but he's taking Kevin to protect him. But just the reactions of the adults in the story, including Mulder and Scully, is to assume that he's going to hurt Kevin. There's something sinister about him, based on the fact that of the way he looks and the way he acts. And actually, he's supposed to be this sort of protective angel, kind of. And I thought that was really good. But I feel like Scully's faith deserved a better vehicle than this particular episode, to be honest. The series does explore Scully's faith later in other episodes. So, you know, she does get to talk about her Catholicism later on. But I just feel that in this particular episode, she wasn't really given a huge amount to do except to listen for signs and rescue this boy. And I think that's about it, really.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're right. I don't think they have a huge role in what they're doing in this episode. Like I said, I really mixed on the episode because I like certain things that they did. I thought they captured the atmosphere pretty well. The opening teaser was really good. Heavy-handed, again. Usually when it comes to religion, that, you know, the X-Files is a little they over-exaggerate certain things. But I thought it was strong. The stigmata element, being kidnapped from the foster home, or the orphanage, rather. I liked a lot of different themes throughout the episode and scenes, but altogether, adding it all up, it wasn't a phenomenal episode for me. I do want to point out, though, probably my favorite thing about the episode is the very ending. And I mean the very ending where Scully goes into the confessional and she's kind of a lapsed Catholic. She, by her own admission, she hasn't been there for some time. And she, you know, says that she wonders aloud to the priest. She wonders if God is speaking. She says, but no one is listening. And it just ends with that. And I don't think the rest of the episode really merited that, but what she says on her own, I loved that. And I thought that was probably the strongest in the entire episode, if you want to know the truth. I really liked her acting with that, and I just thought that was a really powerful moment for her character.
Yeah, I agree with you. I actually wrote that down. That scene really stands out for me. And it stands out for me as well because she feels that she can't really talk to anyone else about this as well. I mean, it's made clear throughout the episode that she can't really talk to Mulder about her faith, you know, and which is interesting, which seems very out of character for him, somebody who's so willing to jump on the paranormal bandwagon, you know, who believes almost anything, you know, he believes like about lake monsters and aliens and shapeshifters and vampires and all sorts of stuff, but he's very skeptical about the belief in God.
He is. And I think that that's something throughout the entire show. I mean, they revisit the topic of that later when Scully has cancer, that the faith topic comes up a lot. And that's something that she and Mulder disagree on. And she wrestles with it. And you get the sense that she can't really talk to him about that. He's kind of closed off to that sort of stuff. And I thought I liked that theme throughout the entire show. I think this is the first or one of the first episodes where you really kind of see that spelled out. And so for that reason, I think what it tries to do is admirable. I think the execution of it, I think they throw a little too much at the wall and not enough sticks, to be honest. It's a little confusing.
I did enjoy the scene with the little boys in the foster home, though, and them all kind of just trying to describe.
Yeah, as he walks down the hall, yeah.
Yeah. And they're trying to describe for the artist that draws pictures of...
The police sketcher, yeah.
The police sketcher, that's it, yeah. And when they're trying to describe him, I thought that was kind of funny. There's a bunch of very small parts, but they were played well by those little boys. Yeah, no, I agree with you. This episode, it starts off that sort of theme that does continue about Scully wrestling with her Catholic faith. And also as well, because she's a scientist, and Mulder in this episode does kind of throw that back at her, you know, the scientific explanations, which I think is a little bit cruel of him, really. You know, how can you, I mean, he doesn't say this, but it's sort of implied that how can you believe in this religion or believe in this religious aspect of the, you know, these crimes because of your scientific background. But I think perhaps maybe he got so used to always being challenged that he feels like maybe he wants to challenge her back. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting. She actually does say in the confession box, she does say, I can't talk to him about this. And that's why she's there in the confessional, because she feels that she needs to talk to somebody. And so... All right, let's move on to the second episode for today. That is the War of the Coprohages. 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 One of those.
We'll go with whatever. They know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So this is season 3, episode 12. It's directed by Kim Manners and is written by Chris Carter and Darren Morgan. Although I think a lot of it's written by Darren Morgan, but I think they've worked in conjunction for this. So the basic storyline... is that what appears to be killer cockroaches are terrorizing a local town, and Mulder, who seems to be there by accident, really, ends up investigating it with the help of Scully over the phone until she shows up later on in the episode, sort of sparked into joining him by what appears to be concern, but also, I think, some slight jealousy on her part when he meets Dr. Bambi Barrowman, I think her name is.
Yes.
So... Andrew, what did you think of this episode?
Oh, I really liked this one. I really liked it. Classic Darren Morgan, you know. Not his strongest, in my opinion, but they're, I mean, very close. It was just really funny, and I really liked the interaction between Mulder and Scully. I thought that Darren Morgan knows, I think if you look over the scope of a lot of his episodes, he knows... the characters really well, and I think he knows how they play off each other, and he knows what can be parodied and what cannot be parodied, and that's why so many of his episodes are really well liked. I mean, he did Clyde Bruckman, he did Jose Chung. I mean, he didn't write that many episodes for the show, but several of the ones he did write are like notable episodes, and even in the latest season 10, I mean, a lot of people thought that his episode, Mulder and Scully Meet the Were-Monster, they thought that was the strongest episode of the entire run. And, you know, that says something when you only have 6 episodes. And Darren Morgan, before that, had only written a handful. And he did really well with that. So I think he plays to his strengths here. And I thought it was a really good story and a really good episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode because it is so funny and kooky, but also because it is also exploiting this sort of disgust that we have about insects. I see just generally the human race. I mean, cockroaches are not something I think anybody really massively enjoys having around, unless you, I don't know, I guess maybe there are people who own cockroaches as pets, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I suspect there probably are somewhere. But the majority of people see cockroaches as a pest. So the idea that they suddenly turn around and start attacking people, it's actually kind of scary. And it starts out, the episode starts out with this brilliant, what I would call like an elegy to a cockroach. I mean, this brilliant little little speech that the exterminator gives before killing, smashing a cockroach under his foot. And he sort of talks about the nature of bugs and, you know, how we are superior as humans. And then he probably gets killed by cockroaches. So it kind of gets his comeuppance there. I think one of my favourite parts of the whole episode is the fact that Mulder and Scully spend most of it conversing over the phone. And at this point, you really feel they're very much friends, not just work colleagues, because they've crossed this line where he's calling her on a regular basis when he has no reason to call her. So right at the beginning of the episode, I can't even remember what he's looking for. He's looking for UFOs or something, isn't he? And he's sitting there in a car and he's bored and he's lonely. So he calls her up. And what's she doing on a Saturday night? she's cleaning her gun. Do you know what I mean? Like, neither of them have lives, you know? She's cleaning her gun. She's washing a dog. And then as soon as she gets involved in the story, you know, she starts researching for him. She's eating ice cream, you know? She's having a salad or whatever. She sleeps with the phone by her bed because she knows that he's going to call. And each time he calls her, he comes up with he sort of says, oh my God, this amazing thing happened. You know, this person was killed by a cockroach or whatever. She comes up with some sort of rational scientific explanation. He's like, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
and then he hangs up on her, you know, because he's going to go investigate something else. I've got to call you back. And I think one of my favorite moments from the whole episode is when he talks about the fact that he's found this government test site to government property. And she says, you know, I don't think you should. I know that you've trespassed on government property before. I don't think you should do it. This isn't the right time. Mm-hmm. And he's already in. You know, so he's already in the house. It's, like, it's too late. I'm already there. You know, it's like that Mulder, don't do the thing. Don't do the thing. He's like, I'm not going to do the thing. And she's like, you're going to do the thing. And he's like, I've done the thing, you know? Like, don't do it, Mulder. And he's done it already. And just the introduction of Bambi, I think, is pretty hilarious. She's so excited by bugs.
I love that scene where she and Mulder are talking about the cockroach over a microscope, I believe. And all of a sudden, she just starts talking about cockroach genitalia. And right then, I mean, it's so funny. I mean, all double entendres and the fact that she's just so obsessed with a bug. And I just felt like it was a really, really well written part of that episode. My favorite scene would have to be Scully when she finally arrives in Miller's Falls, I believe is the name of the town. When she finally arrives there and she's at the grocery store and it's just mass chaos. You know, cars are crashing into each other outside and people are screaming and fighting over things in the store. And she kind of has to, you know, she introduces her rational, logical talk and it just completely makes the situation worse. I thought, I love that scene. I just thought that was really characteristic of Scully. It was really over the top, but it fit really well with, you know, the whole War of the Worlds, I know, is something that the script references a couple of times, including the name of the town, a little nod to that. So I felt like they captured the absurd worry about these killer cockroaches, and I thought they played it really well.
And Scully actually, in that scene, she actually solves the mystery, really. She solves their hunt for the, I suppose, the perpetrator or whatever, the person who's involved in the killer cockroaches. Because she has the map, doesn't she? And she finds where the, what is it? It's like a factory where they're growing something.
Yes.
Or manure.
Uh-huh.
Manure factory, but something like that, where they're housing manure. And it's just kind of hilarious that after all, Mulder's been there for like, what, a day or two? He just comes in and sort of figures out almost immediately, in the middle of chaos about what they need to do. There are some recurring character actors in it. So Ken Kramer plays Dr. Alexander Ivanov, I think it is, who is the one who's constructing machine, like bug-like machines. He was actually in 3, actually. He was a doctor in 3, the episode 3. And also the three stoners who seem to appear again and again. And they appeared most recently in season 10 of The X-Files and the Weremonster, I think.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, I mean, they're licking toads and snorting whatever and inhaling dung or whatever. I mean, I think it's 3 of them, isn't it? But it's 2 stoners who are always on the lookout for a perpetual high. And then the third stoner who always ends up dying somehow.
Right.
I think one of them gets eaten by Big Blue in the episode. Quagmire, I think it's called, yeah. But yeah, the scene where Scully comes in and there's chaos and she's just surrounded by people panicking is very funny. And it actually echoes later in the episode when the sheriff, rather matter-of-factly, comes up and tells them all at the very end about how many incidents they've been dealing with that night. And quite a lot of people have, like, inadvertently poisoned themselves with insecticide.
Yes.
Which I just think is really funny.
Yeah.
Spraying the hose with insecticide and asphyxiating themselves. It's just a very funny, pleasurable episode to watch.
Yeah, no, it's a really great episode. I mean, it's cohesive and it's really funny and it's classic Darren Morgan. I mean, yeah, like I said, I think most people, when it aired, I think the critical acclaim was pretty high for it, and it has stood up as one of those, you know, favorite standalone episodes. It's just really well done. And
there is a scene that's close to my heart, which is when Mulder talks about his experience as a child having discovered a praying mantis. He talks to Scully about it over the phone, and Scully says something like, you know, lots of people are frightened of bugs. And I think that's what this episode is really trying to exploit, or mm-hmm. trying to show, that lots of people are frightened of bugs, but at the same time it's also rather silly to be frightened of bugs. I mean, I guess if you live in Australia, you might have a different opinion on this. And you might have a poisonous bug in your house. But, and Mulder talks about screaming, you know, Scully says, was it a girly scream, you know? But that's, I mean, that I think the episode's kind of making that point, that this panic over...
Yes. Yeah, it is. It is. He...
Over, over, yeah, insects is kind of ridiculous, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great episode. Best line of the episode is probably Bambi. Her name is Bambi. Yeah. Just, I'll close with that. It says it all.
Yep. So, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And the episodes that will be coming up next will be episode number 32, where there'll be people discussing Synergy and Grotesque, which are both very good episodes. So if you would like to find us on Twitter, we are at @X_cast. And on Facebook, we also have an X-Cast, X-Files podcast fan group. So please do head over there and ask to join, and you can discuss this episode and anything else X-Files related. Thank you very much for listening today. And until next time, trust no one.